This is Malcolm King of the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project, and I have with me today John Thayers, as usual. We're at King's Home on the 19th of April 2012, where I'm glad to say we've been joined by Phil Vickery. Thanks very much for coming on, Phil.
No problem at all.
Let's take your career reasonably in chronological order. Well, in fact, let's go right back. Although I've always heard of you as a Cornishman, I think you were actually born in Devon, weren't you?
I was born in Barnstable, yeah. Closest hospital, I'm afraid. But there's nothing wrong with being born in Barnstable. All my mum's family are from West Devon in Holsley, and up in Kilcampton, well, smack bang between Bude and Biddeford. So, to be honest, being in Cornwall and playing my rugby in Cornwall, they never consider anyone north of Weybridge to be Cornish anyway, so it didn't really make a great deal of difference. The only thing it did do actually was prepare me for perhaps rivalry, because we used to play a lot of the Devon teams being so close to the border, so it was weapons to the ready every other week, which set me up quite well really for when I arrived here in Gloucester.
And were you born with rugby in the genes, you know, in the family?
There's no sporting history at all in my family. Grandfather, dad, no interest of any kind at all. So it was all a bit of a new area for the family, and I think one which my dad particularly struggled to get to terms with right from the beginning, because it meant you weren't working at home on the farm, and why the big interest, you know, on a Saturday to go and play rugby, particularly in the early days, because you imagine. When I got to like 14, 15, because of trials and then county trials and Club for England at under 16 level, so suddenly you're training for club, your trials, all that, suddenly it starts taking up quite a lot of your life. And I was very fortunate in Mum and a Silver Fiesta Popular Plus that used to cart me around everywhere and you know, was able to do that. But Dad's a rugby fan in the sense of he enjoys watching the game, but he probably watched me 10 times live in my whole career, so it was never a big come along and see. Mum used to travel a little bit, so yeah, I was just very fortunate in particularly where we grew up, because you know Cornwall, you know, so passionate about rugby and what it meant in the smaller towns and teams and all that local rivalry, and then across into Devon. And if we ever went on a tour, you know, I speak to the lads today who are going on tour. We're going on tour. We're going to Australia, South Africa, Argentina, going to such and such. We used to go to South Wales for a long weekend, get beaten up and go back home again. So it was, you know, things have changed, you know, an awful lot, you know, since then.
But did you play prop when you first picked up a rugby ball?
No, I first started at secondary school, and I was number 8, just purely because I was a big boy, and I used to run over the top of people. So I started at number 8, and the bigger I got, the further forward I went. I went to the second row, and then by the age of 15, 14, 15, I was in the front row, and wouldn't change it for the world. No way.
And you must have made an impression pretty early to get into the England under 16s.
So. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I think I was. I've been. You know, you have to have an element of luck along the way, and yeah, you've got to work hard and bits and pieces. And you know, I love the game, and I think as a young lad, particularly at that kind of age, when you really enjoy something, you put your heart and soul into it, and you're getting rewarded as well through selection and you know, to stand on the rugby field at the age of 15 singing a national anthem playing against Wales down at Pontypridd was, you know, it's a magical, you know, I grew up with dreaming only of ever, you know, to represent Cornwall, you know, as a, you know, would have been just been huge, you know, idols of mine, you know, Richard Keith, Graham Dorr, John May, Tony Cook, you know, it's Adrian Bick, you know, that was, you know, to have been part of that would have been just light years away in a dream. So, yeah, it was good. But in the same sense of, I never really got that carried away with it. I was, you know, my ambition probably at the age of 17, 18 was working at home and wanting to have one of the best dairy herds of cows in North Cornwall. You know, I never ever sort of thought rugby was going to go any further than that.
By then, being on the national stage at schoolboy level, yeah. You must have been spotted, though.
Yeah.
So, what was it? Richard Hill brought you to Gloucester?
Well, actually, it was before then. I used to travel up. I met Phil Greening and his family through South West trials and bits and pieces. And then, because I left school 16 and went straight into the Colts system, whereas Phil and a lot of the guys then went into the schoolboy system. So we kind of then drifted apart for a few years, and then the last year of Colts, we all kind of came back in again, and it was 94. When I joined Gloucester in 95, it was the last game of the 94-5 season. I think it was Phil's debut and like Brian Moore's last or whatever it was for Harlequins. It was out here. Diggs actually got sent off for late tackling Will Carling or something, whatever it was. And I used to come up and stay in Gloucester with Phil's family just to break the journey very often. So I kind of, this was my halfway house. And John Fidler, who was team manager at the time, said, "Oh, about coming up." And I didn't really know. I didn't want to leave home. And I came up. And well, actually, Richard Hill tried to get me to Bath about a year before, and he still says he was the first person ever to turn him down, because basically they could get anybody to go to Bath because, you know, they promised them this and give them that, but it never interested me. And I came here in 95, summer 95, to start training. And he was coaching then, was it Viv? I think it could have been Viv. Was it Viv Woolley? And I was, what, fifth, sixth choice prop, whatever it was, you know. And, you know, Pete Jones, Deeks, Happy Martin, Eddie Powell, Tony Window, Warwick Bullock, myself, and it was, like, quite daunting. And
according to our records, your first match was for Gloucester was 5th of March 1996 against the Army.
The Army used to play them quite a lot, didn't you? Because you had the first team friendlies that used to play. But I just remember it was quite daunting being in the Gloucester squad at the time, just because everyone was so close knit and predominantly from Gloucester, from Gloucestershire, and I was very much an outsider, and I knew about it as well. But I think it was very good, but. I think the nice thing for me was I understood that because of where I come from. Perhaps very similar kind of values to Cornwall, in the sense of you had to earn people's respect and show that what you were made of. No one was just come in and, you know, you're the kiddie and all that type thing. And I think Gloucester got off to the worst ever start in history or something at the time. And I remember Richard Hill, then they got Richard Hill here, and we did finally cross paths. Although it wasn't the route, perhaps, that he planned. So it was exciting times, and I came, my job with Ben Pullen at Home Farm at a church now, and then the game went so-called professional, and didn't really know what it meant. I don't think anyone knew what it meant, did they? I don't know what some people don't know what it means to this very day, but and I was given a contract, a small contract, and I thought, my God, this is just crazy. Didn't really fully understand it.
And initially, presumably, you just talked to the club director about that. You didn't
have agents and things like that. Yeah, it was, well, not agents as such. It wasn't, no one really knew what was going on. Yeah. It was kind of, everyone was running scared, weren't they? Because what did this mean? And so it was chaos, really, for the first, not a few years, really. Yeah. You know, it took a long time for people to understand, to try and come to terms with what was going on.